This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
Good afternoon. A massive podcast this afternoon. Want to discuss the Pies' huge upset win over in the West. 36-point winners over the Dockers last night. I'll give Essendon fans an update on the status surrounding Redmond's one-match sanction from the MRO. Want to discuss the Hawks' huge win down in Tasmania. That probably was the upset of the season for mine. 5-point winners against the Lions, who we know are premiership contenders, or at least we think they are. I'll also discuss some massive injuries from the weekend and a big list of news briefs as well, including the latest on the Bulldogs and Bevo. Bevo wasn't happy with Norton's treatment post-game. Give you a little update on concussion, which I think will turn into a significant story, an update on Tasmania, a trade update, and also want to discuss the floating fixture and Stuart Dew as well. But off the top this morning, the Pies last night, 36-point winners after a disappointing 3 or 4 weeks over in the West against the Dockers. It continues the Dockers in different form over the last 2 or 3 weeks. We thought they were contenders, or at least top four material. That's now being tested, that theory. They're struggling to score, but it was a massive win for the Pies. One of the most talked about aspects of the game will be Jack Ginnivan. He's been in focus all year with his celebrations. He's got an infectious spirit, an infectious enthusiasm that I guess splits opinion. Depends on who you barrack for, I guess. But Jack last night celebrated before he kicked the goal, sort of revved up the fans as he went through. I'll get to my opinion on this in a moment, but this was the coach Craig McRae's response post-game.
Melody this year, what did you make of him celebrating a goal before he kicked the goal?
Oh, what did he do there? Like, you want them to be themselves and just kick the goal and then maybe celebrate with your teammates might be the message, but he's been very good for us, Jack, hasn't he?
Craig McRae's a beauty. That's the straighty 180 answer. I actually love Gidevan's enthusiasm in this era where everything's analysed, over-analysed, including by me, scrutinised, criticised. I just love Ginnivan because he's so unaffected so far by the strict practices of football. So I think he's a beauty, but I'm sure Craig will have a good word to him during the week and just get it through the big sticks before you celebrate. But it was a good talking point, at least from the game. Ollie Henry came on as a super sub, kicked 0-3 last week. He looked sketchy in front of goals. 4 goals, 1 as the medical sub last night. Collingwood was thinking of dropping him, but he just, as Craig McRae said post-game, the hardest thing is getting your hands on the ball. He's been doing that. They backed him in from a selection standpoint in the end, or at least they made him a medical sub and put him on, and he kicked 4 goals, 1. Mason Cox, an injury setback, suffered what sounds like a dislocated finger, an injured finger, and there might be a compound element to that because McRae post-game in his presser did allude to perhaps some skin being involved. So compound dislocated fingers can be up to 8 weeks. There's always an infection risk with that. So that'll be the concern for Collingwood, up to 8 weeks. But he's had a scan this morning, Cox, and let's hope that it's far more modest. We'll have an update through our social channels on that this afternoon. But it was a big win from the Pies and sets up a blockbuster against the old enemy, Carlton. I ran into Luke Sayers post-Carlton's big win down in the rooms. That's their president on Friday night. And he said he couldn't wait for next week. He knows I barrack for the Pies. Just disclosing that, and it sets up an absolute blockbuster. Some tantalising matchups as well, the likes of Darcy Moore playing on Curnow and the midfield going at it. It's going to be a great test for the Magpies against Carlton this week.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News, and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A blow for the Bombers, Mason Redmond receiving a week from the MRO for that elbow. It looked pretty blatant, I must say, on Prestia. That was graded a week, and Essendon have just tweeted that they will not challenge that grading. So Redmond, who's been in good form, is improving week on week. They're one of the, sort of real emerging players for the Bombers this year. A few players have gone backwards, but Redmond's definitely taking leaps and bounds forward, but he'll miss this coming week. In terms of whether Saturday night, a lot of focus on the Bombers last week was a pass mark for Essendon, I think the resounding answer is yes. I don't think the media bus will be parked out there this week, put it that way. Ben Rutten spoke post-game. He was happy with their physicality and was also happy with the way they flew the flag and responded with a bit of ferociousness against the Tigers on Saturday night. There's some injury concerns clearly for the Tigers. Tom Lynch had a scan on his hamstring yesterday morning. Lambert has got that persistent hip problem again. Damien Harbeck, speaking post-match, said that Lambert's just such a tough player. They sort of set him for 1 or 2 weeks back, given his hip history. He'd played 3 or 4 weeks in a row, and with the bye, I think they'll just obviously give him a rest down, hope that just calms down. But again, we'll have an injury update through our social channels on that this afternoon or tomorrow, because he's such an important player for the Tigers.
This is Tom Brown's News, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Here at First on Listener.
I mentioned the Hawks, one of the upsets of the season, by 5 points yesterday in Tasmania. There were at least four or five lead changes in the final term alone. It was one of the upsets of the season. Neil gave away a free kick on Newcombe, and it sort of cost Brisbane the game. There didn't look to be a lot in that. There were 63 free kicks yesterday, which according to some stats is the fourth highest since 2000. I'm not a massive subscriber to sort of knocking the umpires at the moment. I think it's a terribly difficult game to umpire. We don't knock players when they miss set shots for goal. I think set shots on goal are a far bigger issue in the game than umpiring. And it was one of the games of the year, at least in terms of what I watched. It was like both sides kicking over 100 points, so I'd prefer to focus on the positive. Jai Newcombe was good again. 27 touches, a mid-season recruit from Box Hill last year. Pick two, Sam Mitchell obviously had his eyes on him from coaching out there. He's an absolute beauty. As for what it means for Brisbane, well, look, I mean, their forward line, you wouldn't say it's struggling kicking 100-plus points, but they are missing McStay and Danaher, and Hipwood's just only getting going through injury. And just on Sam Mitchell, they really stopped Neil, particularly in the second half. Yes, they had 25 touches, Lachie Neil, but it was a win for Hawthorn in the second half because Shield, and at one stage Wingard, did a great job shutting him down, but a great win for the Hawks in Tasmania yesterday, one of the upsets of the season.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's News.
An injury update. I whipped through them. I might have mentioned some of these. Patrick Dangerfield has had scans. Well, he will have scans this afternoon, but has spoken to the media this morning down in Geelong. He's in at the Cattery. He's got a calf concern. That'll be subject to assessment. I think Geelong will take a pretty conservative approach with that, was the word I was getting from the Cats overnight, but it'll obviously depend on the scan. There was some debate over the weekend from Corns and Wayne Carey on the Sunday Rub about whether Danger sort of needs to trim down a little bit at this stage of his career in terms of, I guess, producing some longevity. Danger addressed that this morning. You'll see it on the news tonight, 7 News, but in summary, he thinks his weight's about right in terms of the type of game he's been playing. I should add, the Duck thought that was a ridiculous conversation when he spoke on the Sunday Rub yesterday. Thinks Danger is an absolute champion and has all those types of aspects in terms of his size well and truly under control. Tom Lynch mentioned hamstring injury, Lambert hip, Marchbank. This is a blow for Blues fans. He's a fan favourite coming back from an ACL last year and hasn't played since 2019. Blues fans are desperate to see him play. He's playing in the VFL yesterday, his second or third game back from this ACL, and had knee on the other knee. Now, the Blues don't seem too concerned by that, but he will need a scan on that today. So, again, that's a wait and see. Cox, I mentioned, dislocated finger. And Josh Kennedy was a big one from the weekend. I was on the boundary for Triple M Friday night watching this. Look, that's a high right hamstring. He's on 288-odd games at age 33, turning 34 soon. That's potentially career-threatening. It didn't look like your garden variety two or three-week hamstring. It looked more like 8, 9, 10 weeks to me. Having said that, that's just from my external assessment. He'll have scans today, so that could become quite a significant story.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News, and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'll just whip through some other news items on my Monday list today. Luke Beveridge wasn't happy with Aaron Norton's treatment in the second half against the Suns. Sam Collins was mainly playing on Norton in the second half on Saturday. AFL.com.au shown some vision. We had some vision on the 7 News last night. It doesn't look like there was much in it in terms of the way Norton was treated in the second half. The context was he kicked 3 goals to halftime and was goalless in the second half. There's certainly been no complaint lodged so far from the Bulldogs to the AFL. I'll keep an eye on that this week. But it doesn't look like, to be frank, there was much in it. I think the Suns' informal view is that Bevo might have been referring to a few free kicks that were given in the second half that Bevo might not have agreed with. I'll chase that up at Bevo's press conference this week. An interesting one concerning concussion. I've mentioned this on this podcast. Currently, Peter Gordon, who's the former Bulldogs Premiership president, is doing effectively an investigation on behalf of the AFL, looking at whether there should be a concussion fund. I think we'll see a potential announcement from the AFL on that relatively soon, and it could be incorporated into the next collective bargaining agreement, some sort of money set aside for concussion. This is only a very informal position. But I think Peter Gordon is coming around to the idea that some of Peter Jess's points on concussion have been quite valid. And it's obviously a tricky issue for the AFL. How do you set up a fund? How do you access it? How do you prove it? There's a whole raft of issues in all that. How many players will come for that fund and try and access that money? Look, it's a complicated area, but I think we'll see some announcements on that perhaps in coming months. There's a lot of work going on in the background on that front. As far as Tasmania is concerned, I mentioned on the Sunday Rub yesterday, at least one club now will not, they tell me, support a 19th licence. It's not an anti-Tasmanian position, but they don't think the competition can afford a 19th licence. They've got concerns over the fact that it'll be a problem for the AFL in perpetuity. They've got concerns over the talent aspects to all this and whether, in fact, Tasmania is the best place to put that 19th team. It's not an anti-Tasmanian discussion. It's a broad discussion concerning whether the AFL can afford a 19th team. For example, this person said to me from one of these clubs, why doesn't North Melbourne try and access what Tasmania is offering and try and effectively do a JV? Now, that's not being discussed at the moment. Maybe it will be at a point in time. That's going to be quite a contentious discussion in the next couple of months. And I know the AFL is doing a lot of work with concerned clubs at the moment over trying to resolve some of these issues because the AFL are quite bullish on a 19th team. And I think the clubs are bullish on Tasmania and their support for Tasmania. But what they're not bullish on is commissioning a 19th team that loses a whole bunch of money, even with that government support over the long term. So there's going to be a lot of debate over that. Just a trade whisper that's come across my desk over the weekend. There's a lot of focus at the moment on the Giants' Tim Taranto. And Jacob Hopper is also, in theory, available. I think if one of those guys, it's either or. So if Taranto falls out, Hopper will stay. If they re-sign Taranto, Hopper might go. So that'll become a discussion point from a trade perspective over coming months. Just on the Suns, interesting, a lot of discussion last week regarding Stuart Dew and his contract status. The Suns officially won't reveal what they're doing as far as coaching is concerned until much towards the end of the season. They've agreed on that. They want to give Dew clear air to perform. They lost on the weekend. They're now 4-6. They've got winnable games, a winnable month of football coming up. So it's going to be very important for Stuart Dew. I also hear, which is interesting, they're looking behind the scenes at re-signing Stuart Dew. Now, that's not going to say it's going to get done, but they're beginning to think about that possibility. So that's a very interesting one, particularly with the spectre of Alistair Clarkson looming large. And just the last one on my list this morning, the floating fixture. There's a lot of club concern with the floating fixture. It obviously suits the broadcasters because you can get the blockbuster games on, well, Thursday, where applicable, Friday and Saturday night. But a lot of the clubs are worried that even if you get some of the blockbuster fixtures, it's hard to get kids and country people and some of the older people to the night games. They're also concerned from a corporate sales perspective. It's hard to predict the matches going forward. Also hard for members to predict and pick out the matches they want going forward. And also the floating fixture, according to some clubs, very difficult on staff because they can't sort of pick what they're doing until 5, 6, 7. Well, they can't pick it 5, 6, 7 weeks in advance. So again, it's just one of those things where the AFL is obviously trying to not appease the broadcasters, but reward the broadcasters for putting the money in. But from a fan perspective, some clubs are worried that fans are getting a bit stitched up there from a floating fixture perspective. I think that could come up this week as well. It's been a massive Monday of news. Lots of discussion points. A massive weekend of football highlighted by Hawthorn and Collingwood's upsets. Some great games as well. St Kilda, well, they got through Max King's accuracy this time, which was fantastic. I'll be back on Thursday with all the latest news. Thanks so much for joining our podcast today. For all the latest stories the next couple of days, they'll be on our social channels as well. Triple M rocks football.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.